While it's true that someday God will judge this world once and for all, Skip Heitzig points out that that doesn't mean his mercy will disappear.
There was a sign posted on a tree right in front of a convent. And listen to what it said. No trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Signed, the Sisters of Mercy. It doesn't sound very merciful, does it? In the tribulation, God is, so to speak, hanging up his sign. There will be delay no longer. As the full wrath is poured out upon the earth, God is saying, I've had enough. But he takes away the edge with an element of mercy.
Make the connection.
If you're like most people, you don't like hearing bad news. In fact, you may go to great lengths, like move to a new state, such as the state of denial, just to avoid bad news. And Christians aren't immune to this phenomenon, especially when it comes to the wrath of God. That's not something we like to hear about necessarily, but today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig warns it's something we'll all one day have to face, unless, well, you can find out what that is during today's study. Before we start, though, here's how Skip connects you with Dr. Erwin Lutzer with this month's resource.
It's a mad world we live in. We don't know where we or our country will even be in the next few years. In these crazy times, we need to be able to see straight to the spiritual heart of things. With this month's Connection resource, learn how to stand against spiritual threats with Pastor Skip Heitzig's book, Homeland Security. Then dive into Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, The Cross and the Shadow of the Crescent, and open your eyes to the danger of Islam in the Western world. In Dr. Lutzer's words,
there are plenty of books out there on Islam, what Islam teaches, and of course this book has that also. But what this is lessons for the American church as to what is coming through the pike.
Wrap it all up with an exclusive interview with Pastor Skip and Dr. Lutzer as they candidly discuss the spiritual state of our country.
Right now, America is in a position of submission to Islam.
Get this package when you make a donation of any amount at connectiononline.org/offers or call 1-800-922-1888.
So is the wrath and judgment of God really bad news? Well, that depends. What does it depend on? Stay with us to find out, and make a note of any points you hear that are especially intriguing or impactful. We'd love to hear how this teaching impacts you. Just send us an email to mystory@connectiononline.org.
And make the connection.
When God Declares War. That's the title of our teaching today from our series, Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace. Now to continue, here's Skip Heitzig.
Let's look at verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now we move from this continual, constant condemnation to a temporary or temporal tribulation. See, we know Jesus is speaking of a future short episode of time called the tribulation. But notice what he says. For then there will be great tribulation. Now, if you look over at verse 9, he does mention the word tribulation. They will deliver you up to tribulation. But here he says in verse 21, for then, that is right after the abomination of desolation, then there will be great tribulation. The term tribulation could be translated anxiety or pressure or distress, pressure. And the word great is the word, well, we would say mega. It's the Greek megale. Jesus is saying, there is coming to this earth a mega trial, a mega pressure cooker event, which he calls here the Great Tribulation. And he says, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. You know why that is? Well, we can see already, we've already read it. But Jesus, in introducing this wrath of God, now we see why it's going to be so bad. Now we see there's a confluence, a coming together of Satan's activity on the earth, man's rebellion on the earth, and then on top of that is poured out all of God's judgment and God's wrath during an episode of time. It's quite a statement. For Jesus to say there has never been a time historically or ever will be in the future as bad as that time. That's quite a statement. Because just for a minute, think of all the bad episodes in life. You can say, I can think of a few in my own life. No, just think historically for a moment. Think of the Holocaust. Think of World War I, World War II. Think of things like the Spanish Inquisition or the great plagues of Europe. All of the wars that have been fought and the millions upon millions of people who have been killed. And yet Jesus says the coming event is going to be worse than all of them. Jesus in Matthew 24 agrees with Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. The prophet says, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even unto that time. And both of them would agree with Jeremiah, who said, that day is great, there is none like it. It is a time of Jacob's trouble. So we know that this permanent condition since the fall of man is going to erupt in a temporal tribulation where God unleashes his anger, his wrath for a period of time upon this earth. And it's never happened before quite like that. The tribulation in the Bible is known by several names. Let me share a few of them with you. 26 times it's called the day of the Lord. It is called the indignation in Isaiah chapter 26 and Isaiah 34. It's known as the day of God's vengeance, Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 34. It is known as the great day of his wrath in Revelation 6. And, oddly, it is referred to as the wrath of the Lamb in Revelation 6. I say that's odd because that sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? The wrath of the Lamb. Have you ever seen an angry lamb? Watch out! There's a lamb. Beware of lamb. Lambo. Didn't make sense. Lambs are docile. But that's just the point. The lamb we know is the Son, Jesus Christ. We often picture Jesus, because we want to, as always docile, always joyful, always loving, kissing babies, hugging people, singing with people. And he was so full of joy and so full of love. But we like to forget the times when and will in the future the same Son of God will be full of wrath. You see, the same Jesus Christ who drew in children drove out merchants from the temple. And there will be in the future the wrath of the Lamb Jesus. Well, Jesus says it's bad. It's really bad. It's not just an episode of trouble. We all have that. Jesus said in the world, you're going to have tribulation. There's a big difference, however, from the tribulation that comes from the world as just a human being living here and the future tribulation that God sends, his wrath. And you might ask, well, okay, I get the point. What could be so bad about it? How could that day be any different or any worse than even today or other periods of time in history? Here's a thumbnail sketch. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, there are seven seals that begin the tribulation period. During that time, there will be unparalleled war, slaughter, famine, incredible inflation, and people hiding in caves and mountains from God's wrath. Then in Revelation 8, we have the seven trumpet judgments, and things get a lot worse. Hail and fire come from the sky to the earth. Rivers, springs, streams of water become polluted and undrinkable, and all the green grass is scorched upon the earth. By the way, The tribulation period will be a nightmare for an environmentalist. It'll be the worst. Because if you think we've messed this place up, wait till you see what God does with it. He will trash it. Revelation chapter 9, the bottomless pit is open. Hordes of demons come out. Revelation 12, demons further are cast to the earth from the heavens. Revelation 16 introduces the third round called the bowl judgments that are poured out upon the earth that include malignant sores, water poisoned, the sun scorching the flesh of men, and hailstones coming out of heaven. And then as we continue to read, it gets worse because there is then a final conflict mentioned in Revelation 16 where there's a confederation of nations around the world that gather together against Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. Now listen to this. Here's the response from heaven during that time. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. Jesus comes out of heaven at that final conflict and makes war upon the earth. He declares war. Now the inevitable question here, because we've painted a very dark picture, and you're thinking, this is not a happy Bible study. And so you would naturally ask, why? What on earth could be the purpose of God ever doing that to the earth? What would be the purpose of the tribulation? There are several, but I'll just give you two. Number one, it is God's final period of judgment upon nations that have rejected God for so long. You see, we have presumed upon God's patience for such a long time. Over in Rome, there's a little room. It's one of the most famous rooms in the world. We were looking at it in picture form on a computer today, the Sistine Chapel. And on one side of the Sistine Chapel is perhaps Michelangelo's most famous painting called The Great Judgment. It centers in this picture. There's a lot of activity, but it centers on the raised hand of Christ about ready to fall in judgment upon the world. Michelangelo painted it to counteract secular humanism in his day. People had forgotten God. People had forgotten that history would end one day at God's judgment bar. And so when that painting was done, it went throughout Europe, various European cities displayed it. And it is said that by and large, when Europeans looked on it, here was the phrase, all of Europe trembled. They trembled as they realized this patient, loving God will also be just and one day judge all of the nations and separate the sheep from the goats. There'll be a final period of judgment. I heard about a farmer who was an atheist. Never went to church on Sunday. Hardworking farmer. And he wrote a letter to the local newspaper, to the editor. He asked it to be posted. This is what he said. I've plowed on Sunday. I've planted on Sunday. I've cultivated on Sunday. I've hauled in my crops on Sunday, but I've never gone to church on Sunday, and yet I have harvested more bushels per acre than anyone else, even those who are God-fearing and never miss a Sunday service. Very brash. The editor printed it. And then he added his own comments, saying, God doesn't always settle his accounts in October. God is willing that none should perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish eternally. But there is a coming time when God will settle the accounts with his earth. And that's the tribulation period. There's a second reason, briefly. And that is to prepare Israel for her Messiah. To prepare Israel for her Messiah. They rejected the Messiah the first time. Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. Many will be turning to Messiah. We know at least 144,000 who are sealed, perhaps more, during that horrible period of time. Their hearts will open up for their Messiah. So, all of this is part of the justice of Almighty God. You know, I used to picture God, like a lot of people do today. A lot of us used to picture God as some feeble, gentle, bearded old man sitting on a cloud, just smiling as he watches every day go by. And that's the picture that some people have. And they will even say, well, if God is a God of love, how could he judge the world? I ask, if God is a God of love, how could he not judge the world? Think of all that God has seen for so many years. Think of every bad newspaper headline in every major city around the world since newspapers were written. Think of every dark deed, every terrorist activity ever done, every child molestation, murder, rape that God has seen and knows intimately about. And he's been patient and patient and patient. And finally, he says in Revelation, there shall be delay no longer. And the full fury and wrath of God is poured out. And so this temporal tribulation poured out upon the earth, which brings us to a third point. It's in verse 22. And that is eternal compassion. This is really the best part of it. And I was struck by it, honestly, this week. Verse 22 just jumps out at me. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. That's how bad it's going to get. Nobody on earth could survive this. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, in that verse, you have a spiritual principle that when God gives out judgment, he always mingles it with his mercy. There's always an element of mercy, even in the severe judgments of God. You remember the prophet Habakkuk who wanted to ask God what was the future going to hold, and God said, well, it's not really good. The Babylonians are going to come and they're going to invade you guys, and I'm going to judge you for a period of time by sending you away to Babylon. This really upset Habakkuk because he understood the Babylonians are like really bad guys. Okay, we're bad. They're really bad. But he knew the character of God, and he said, Lord, do what you need to do. But in wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. You know why he prayed that? Because God always, in wrath, remembers mercy. He'll always mingle mercy with his judgment. You say, well, how would God be merciful during this coming period of human history? A few different ways. First way is called the rapture of the church, where all of those believers in Christ up till that period of time will be taken off the earth. The rapture will have already occurred. As Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. That will have already occurred. Way number two, many people during that time of the tribulation will come to believe in God, trust in Jesus Christ, be saved, and be counted among this group, the elect that are mentioned here. Way number three, that time is going to be really bad. So it's going to be compressed. It's going to be made short. Unless those days were shortened, and it means to be cut off suddenly, ended abruptly, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So God's going to judge the world, and God has every right to pour hundreds and thousands of years of judgment upon the earth. But it's going to be condensed to 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. Those days are going to be shortened. Perhaps that's the meaning of it. Can I give you an alternate meaning? Some people think that what this means is that the judgment is going to be so bad that God in his mercy is going to actually shorten the days, shorten the daylight hours, so there won't be as much sunshine going on, so that the forces, the armies of the Antichrist, will have less visibility to persecute the elect. It's possible. Three times in the book of Revelation, it speaks about this new configuration of darkness that comes upon the earth. Listen to this. This is Revelation chapter 8. And the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. So with a third less sunlight, you have a third less energy to maintain systems in the world. That's going to mess with heat and cold, obviously. It's going to be pretty brutal. But it also takes away the advantage of those who would do damage to God's elect. Perhaps that's what it means. The days themselves will become short. So here we have judgment. The wrath of God, the eruption of that wrath in the tribulation, but it's always mingled with mercy. There was a sign posted on a tree right in front of a convent. And listen to what it said. No trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Signed, the Sisters of Mercy. It doesn't sound very merciful, does it? In the tribulation, God is, so to speak, hanging up his sign. There will be delay no longer. As the full wrath is poured out upon the earth, God is saying, I've had enough. But he takes away the edge with an element of mercy. I love what James writes in James chapter 2. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And we see it even in the very end. Now, all of us here tonight, every single person in this auditorium or listening by radio, we're all broken vessels. We all have a story. We all have baggage. We all have something that has hurt us, trials, tribulations. What is it that has broken you? Could be a divorce. You're broken from that. You feel crippled from that event. Could be a disease. You're not who you once were. Could be an episode of an affair that broke up a relationship. It could be a slander. With all of those bad, horrible times, God always adds mercy. And here's my point. Because that's true, you and I need to start looking for it. Do you find it refreshing that King David, before he was king, was followed by Saul, who tried to kill him for 10 years? Dogged like an animal, followed from town to town by somebody who wanted to kill him. Followed also by rebels who wanted to overturn him. And yet the one thing David remembers that followed him, well, listen to what he says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so, yes, life has disappointments. Life has trials. Life has tribulations. Certainly not like this one. But with all of those bad episodes, we need to look for that string of mercy woven into even the worst of times. I have always loved what Corrie Ten Boom memorized when she was in a Nazi concentration camp. She said it was a little poem that I recite over and over and over again just to keep me sane and to keep my eyes focused. She said, look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look to Jesus. Be at rest. Even in a Nazi concentration camp, as a young woman, she saw the mercy of God time after time.
You know, with all we see in the headlines, on the nightly news, and on the up-to-the-minute news websites, it can be hard to find anything positive to focus on sometimes, at least in this world. Our prayer is that your hope isn't set on anything on this earth, which is temporary, but set on the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ, which is eternal. Well, we'll continue through this series in Matthew 24 next time, and in just a moment we'll tell you how to order a copy of today's teaching. But first, let us encourage you to support the ministry of The Connection. Prayerfully consider making a donation, then visit us at connectiononline.org to find out more. And as we wrap things up today, we want to remind you can order a copy of today's message, When God Declares War, by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. Or by visiting connectiononline.org/radio. You can also write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And be sure to drop us a line to let us know about the difference these messages are making in your life. That's at mystory@connectiononline.org.
And make the connection.
No denying the world is growing increasingly dark. In fact, we may even be headed toward an all-new Dark Ages. Find out more from Skip Heitzik next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.